Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. We welcome all our callers out to Bible Questions and Answers. I'm Brother Lewis Parker IV. We just appreciate you so much for calling in to this Bible and Question and Answer program. If you have a Bible question, please call in and we'll give you a Bible answer to your question. Brother Brown, is it just me on so far? Is Brother Johnson, Brother Williams on?
No, sir. Is me and you so far?
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. And Brother Robbins and Brother Parker should be calling in a few minutes, but let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we approach your throne in Jesus' name, giving you thanks for the opportunity to come before you and to pray to you, O Lord, to preach your word. Lord, we pray that your word may not fall on deaf ears, O Lord, but just help us and help our listeners and just bless them, bless them, bless them. In Jesus' name we do pray, O Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you got a Bible question, please call in and we'll give you a Bible answer. We have our panelists. I'm Brother Lewis Parker IV. We got Brother Lewis Parker Jr. We got Brother Horace Robbins. We got Brother Johnson and Brother Williams, all from Wharton, Texas, and hopefully they'll be calling in shortly as well. Let me pause and see if we have any questions coming in. Anybody coming in, Brother Brown? Or just still me and you so far?
Just still me and you so far.
Okay, all right. All right. You know, one of the things I want to bring up is there are so many different churches in existence today. So a question that I would like to put on the floor is, how do I know that my church is the right church? How do I know my church is the right church? You know, who that was going on there? Okay, you know, it's two questions that I would like to ask about that. How do I know is my church the right church? It's two questions that I would like to ask. Number one question is my church in the Bible? Is my church in the Bible? The number two question I'd like to ask is the Bible in my church? Is the Bible in my church? So is my church in the Bible? You know, we know that in the New Testament, there is only one church. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and Hades' gates won't prevail against it. He told Peter that I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Peter used those keys over in Acts chapter 2 to open up the church of Christ. So we know that that church was in existence from New Testament time. So we know that the church that belongs to Christ deals in the Bible. Now, what identifies the church is the doctrine within. You know, someone might go and put the name Church of Christ on a building, but that doesn't make it the true Church of Christ unless they're preaching the right doctrine. So is my church in the Bible? They have to be able to identify with the New Testament church, that's Church of Christ. But the second question I have is, the Bible in my church? See, is the Bible in my church? Not only do I want to know, is the church in my church in the Bible, I like to know, is the Bible in my church? Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Parker? Is my church preaching the Bible in its purest and simplest form, with humility and with submission to the Word of God? Or are they leading the Word of God? I think a true manservant will allow the Word of God to lead them and not lead the Word of God. Unfortunately, what ministers and many ministers and pastors do is they come up with their own doctrine, and then they go to the Word of God to find their doctrine. See, and that's not exegesis; that's called eisegesis. You know, now it's up to the man of God not to eisegesis, but to exegesis. And in so doing, we let ourselves and our sermons be led by the Word of God instead of leading the Word of God. And if the Bible is in your church, that's exactly what you do. It's not about your manual. It's not about your creed. is all about the Bible. The Bible should be your soul guide and your soul authority. And that's what it looks like when the Bible is in your church. So is my church the right church? And that's the question that I'd like to ask to the audience. Any questions before I pass it on to one of the other preachers on the panel? Any questions, Brother Brown? Just press one. If you got a question, just press one.
No, kidding, you know. But Parker Jr., he got a lot of background noise. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'll
take it off.
Let's try to get it off.
You gotta go outside or something. It's a lot of background noise.
It's off?
Yeah, that's better. We got Brother Robin, Brother Jonathan too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brother Robin's here.
Hello.
Yeah, Brother Puffy still got a lot of noise.
Okay, are you there? It's Brother Robbins here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Robbins.
Okay, as you're saying, we want you to please call with your questions or comments, because this is a very important issue, because too many people are unaware of what the Bible actually teaches. You know, as far as the church is concerned, the border of the Lord's kingdom is the doctrine, the teaching. So if what you're teaching is not found in the Holy Scriptures, you've gone beyond what the Bible says. So too many people are unaware of doctrine. The Bible tells us in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth the doctrine of Christ, he is both the Father and the Son. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into the house, neither bid him God speed. For he that bid him God speed, in particular, is evil deed. So you need to maintain what does the Bible say. Too many people are doing things in religion that's found nowhere in the doctrine of Christ. So when people are unaware of what it said, they may be doing things by way of tradition without ever having gone to the Bible to see what it actually says. So we're saying, let's open the Bible up and see if what your church is doing is found in the Bible. It's not a matter of not only having the Bible in your church, it's your church in the Bible. So we're going both ways as a paradox that people might get a proper understanding. So we want you to call us. The number is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker, you there?
We want you to know that it is most important that you hear some things and call and ask questions. Right now, our country is in the worst shape it has ever been in history. Biblically, we are headed for total destruction if we do not repent. And I doubt that this country is going to do that right now. We are so far out there with it, it is totally ridiculous what we are doing. It's crazy. And we need to straighten it up and fly right. Now, you look at what has happened now. We already know that when the Supreme Court endorsed same-sex marriages of men and women, then that was the beginning of our downfall, because the Supreme Authority of America told God he is a lie, and he said that men can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. Now, that was the beginning of a total downfall. We've been itching at it all the time, and now we are headed directly to hell. Look at all the outrageous sins that are going on that we hadn't seen before. Even Romans 1 declared it, thinking themselves to be wise, they have become fools. And Americans have definitely become fools right now. And we're going to have to straighten up now. We're going to have to go back to the book and listen, Church of Christ folks. Start preaching and teaching the doctrine. Now, if you can't teach the doctrine and preach for Christ, sit your rump some down line on the stump. Because the leaders of this people, Isaiah 1:18 said, for it's the leaders of this people that do cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Ooh, we got to get ourselves together we got to get right now, or else we can kiss this wonderful country that I once knew, kiss it goodbye. We can't stay here much in this on this earth. Every great nation that ever did it in history lost, and they became destroyed because of their wickedness. And notice the thing that went over in Florida here recently. All of that shooting and the killing of 49 or 50 people and 53 wounded and so forth, and some of them in serious condition. That was the most prolific that we've had like that in America in ages. If not, that's the worst we've ever had at all. And it's going to get worse now, because the devil is now set loose in the United States of America. We used to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But now we are one nation under hell and Satan, going down in total destruction. That's a sin and a shame. Brother Robin.
Oh, no. Is there any phone call on the line? The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Brown, do we have any calls on the hold?
No, sir. We have some people just listening. So we got Brother Johnson online.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Brother Johnson.
I'm here.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother Johnson. Go ahead.
I was listening to what you were saying, Brother Parker. America has gone to the dogs. Well, the whole world is really gone to it, because men choose to sin willfully. They don't care about anything. We got folks in the church doing it too. And
man,
we want to just talk about the world, but we better check ourselves. The Bible tells me in Titus 2:11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." We take that grace very lightly.
Well,
God's word is going to stand. Matthew 24:35 said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand." We need to preach the gospel. Tell it like it's wrote. Men are leaving here faster than Carter can sell pills. We just had a man leave here yesterday where we live at. And we don't know whether he's faithful to Christ or not, but we know he left here.
Yeah.
God is calling, and we better get ready.
Amen.
Time is running out, brethren. So we might as well get on board and preach the gospel like Jesus said to do. And Mark the 16th chapter, in verse 15 and 16, Jesus said these words. And he said unto them, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And Matthew the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 18 through 20, the Bible says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you even until the end of the world." The Bible says it, not us as gospel preachers. We are to preach God's word. Tell the people the truth. And if they don't want it, go on to the next one. Just
Amen.
Keep on preaching the word of God. It's going
Amen.
To take effect somewhere. We just got to keep preaching it. The world is dying in sin. Every day, from your house to my house to the White House, ain't nothing but trouble.
Amen.
We know it and we see it. And men have turned their back on God's words.
Amen.
God said it, that settles it. And John, the 14th chapter, and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No man can come to the Father but by me. Now, brethren, Jesus is the only way home to heaven. No man can lead no man to heaven. All we can do is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to every soul that wants to hear it.
Man.
If we preach what Jesus said, then we know that we can be saved. If we preach anything other than the gospel, then we're going to hell.
Amen. Brother Johnson, I'm glad you brought that up. And I appreciate that so much, Brother Johnson, because what you mentioned was the gospel and preaching what Jesus said. You know, a lot of people today say that, well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. And so I'm very glad that you brought that up, Brother Johnson. And let me pose another question to the panel. Let me ask this. Was Jesus man, was Jesus God, or was Jesus man and God?
Yeah, I would love for somebody to call in with that one. I would love somebody to call
Amen.
In.
Amen.
That's a very good and legitimate question, because you got too many folks who want to separate the one from the other. And, you know, the Bible teaches a practice deal. This is something that people generally miss. There are practice deals all through the Bible. You'll find them in the Bible. For the practice deal, that means you cannot have the one without the other. Jesus, our Lord, said in Matthew 13, in verse 44, he said, the kingdom of heaven is a treasure field, that when a man findeth it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof, he go and he selleth all he had, and he bought a field. Why he bought a field? Because he knew you couldn't have the one without the other.
That's right.
How it is. So we want somebody to please call us and deal with that, because we're discussing over the air. Number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Don't be bashful. Please call us and discuss this thing on air. Brother Parker.
Amen. We find that Jesus was both God and man when he came here. He was God and man. He walked. And he loves people physically, and he spoke the gospel, and he told them what they must do to be saved. And then he brought his body here to give it, to spare it, and it means take it and feed it and put him on a cross. And they pierced him in his side. And the Bible says, for that there came blood and water. And that's been our blessing ever since. That's how we know when a person is baptized after hearing the word, believing the word, repenting of his sins, confessing Christ, and being buried in water grave of baptism. We know he comes up born again, because Jesus on that cross shed his blood, the soldier, Roman soldier, pierced him in the side, and he shed his blood out on this earth. Now, you know, it was not just natural blood. He had the blood of his father, just like every one of us here on earth have the blood of our father. The blood of his father was God Almighty. God Almighty. And it spread throughout the total earth. Now, everybody all over the world that hear the gospel can be saved and rise therefrom a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, so very much for that. And that's why we need to praise the Lord, worship the Lord, obey the Lord, become a member of the body of Christ, and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Brother Robin.
Yes, thank you, Brother Parker. One thing or the other I want to add to that about the blood of Christ, and many people don't understand that as well. Where did the blood of Christ go? That's what I want people to call in with. Where did the blood of Christ go? And for those folk who want to be an ultra-literalist, we know it went to the ground. We know it went to the earth. Yes, to redeem those that dwell on the earth. We know that. But I'm saying, looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, where did the blood of Christ go? It went towards something. It went towards, I want somebody to call us with that. The idea concerning the blood of Christ. We know the blood of Christ can wash the sins of all sin, but where did that blood go spiritually, on the spiritual viewpoint? Where did the blood go? Because it was shed for a reason.
Man.
It wasn't shed for nothing. It was shed for a reason. So what was it shed for? What did it do? What was it shed for? The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's a very good question. I sure hope somebody do call in with an answer to that question. And I think we'll even drop a hint. Baptism is very important. You know, I understand a lot of denominations today teach that baptism is not essential to salvation. They say, well, you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. That baptism is only an outward sign of the inward grace. But what does the Bible say? You know, when you look at all the conversions throughout the book of Acts, you see that each one, and I mean each one, in order to be saved, was baptized. And baptism is so important that we get two things from baptism. Number one, we get remission of sin. And number two, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why we get those things is because when we go down in water baptism, then what happens is that we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. Our souls come in contact with the blood of Christ through the Spirit. And as a result, it cleanses us from all our sins, and we rise up new creatures. So therefore, baptism is so, so important. So all the preachers and pastors that run around talking about baptism is not important. It's a sad situation because people are being led astray by this false doctrine. So please, somebody come in, call in with an answer to that question. Let me call right fast to see if we have any questions, Brother Brown. If you got a question, just press 1. Just press 1 if you have a question. Any questions so far?
No, sir. Got
okay.
Brother Williams online also.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right, go ahead, Brother Williams.
Yeah, Brother Williams is in the house. How y'all doing tonight, brethren?
Yes, sir, just fine. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Had to run a few errands and I just got back late. Listen, I heard Brother Parker the Fool talking about pastors and reverends and preachers and false teachers trying to get people to believe that salvation can be acquired and obtained from the Lord without obedience of baptism. So I don't know what question we had on the floor, but I was just talking with a sister in Christ the other day who was listening to and was being taught in Bible study by a clerical person who was also trying to convince her that baptism is not a aspect of salvation. The man, he emphasized that faith as if to say, faith only is all that matters. And, the water of baptism is not an essential part of salvation. And you know, it's a shame, as Brother Parker the Fourth indicated, it's really a shame that people are being taught and they're actually listening to and obeying that doctrine. When Jesus commanded baptism for salvation, Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter, responding to Jesus' instruction to teach them what he commanded them, and Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, Peter said, you got to repent and be baptized. Well, 3,000 people repented in their hearts and confessed faith in Christ and were baptized that same day, verse 41. And they were added to the Lord's church that same day. Now, everybody in the Bible who was saved was baptized into Christ. it says that all the saved were added to the church. Those who were baptized were saved. They were added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. How were they being saved? They were being baptized according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were being baptized for the removal of their sins. And Christ was adding them to his church. Anybody who has not been baptized for the remission of sins has not been added to the church of Christ and is not saved. But you have billions of people who believe otherwise because ministers have came with philosophy to justify salvation through belief.
Amen.
They quote scriptures out of context. Romans 10:10. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But, pardon me, 10:10. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And they stop right there. Paul addresses the entirety of the obedience to the gospel of that for salvation. But they stop right there and say, well, look, the Bible says if you believe and confess Christ, you are saved. The Bible doesn't say that there. That's taken out of a context that was talking about salvation and is used to sum up salvation. But Paul said in that same chapter, in verse 17, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Listen, the form of doctrine is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. We die to the love and practice of sin. We are buried in the liquid tomb of water baptism for the removal of sin, and we are raised to walk in a new and living way, the spiritual life that God has given us. And people are being told that they don't have to do that to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to be saved by him. They don't have to do that. All they got to do is say they believe in him, raise their right hand and confess faith, and they are saved. We have to teach the truth, brethren, and we have to tell our friends, we have to tell our teaching counterparts, the false teachers, we have to tell them the truth, and we can't worry about hurting folks' feelings. We're not trying to make friends, we're trying to make disciples. And so we can't take no chance on hurting folks' feelings about the truth. The truth will make you free. If nothing but the truth can make you free.
Amen.
Brother Parker Jr.
Yes. This is the reason why we open for questions, because truth has nothing to fear.
Amen.
See, anything that's legitimate shouldn't have any problem with open and honest investigation. It is legitimate.
Amen.
It is legitimate.
Yes.
Shouldn't have any problem. So we're allowing you to call with questions to give a chance to examine it, because the scripture says this. In Proverbs 14 and verse 15, it says, the simple man believeth every word, but the prudent or clever man is well to his Lord. So,
yes, yes.
The wise man, he will investigate before he invests. So we allow you to ask questions that you may investigate to see if these are so.
Yeah.
So we want you to call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, and brethren, listen. Here's something here. We've got some information that T.D. Jakes is going to have a program on June, beginning on the 21st of June, in regards to hell. Somebody been listening in. Now you need to understand that people don't have to call on the phone. They can put their computers on and run copies of it of that and give that to many people. So I think it's happening kind of underground. Several things have I heard of different churches out there in the world. But he's going to have a conference on June the 21st. I think about what India or what is about hell that you want. And that came from our program.
Sure,
we need to know that we got to keep on putting this news out here. It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up. Just remember that. Because the truth will set people free. And see, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And we know that there are a lot of people that are being damned nowadays about the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to fix it their way. And we need to let them know that that's the only way that they can be saved is through the gospel of Christ. And obey that doctrine. And that makes us all the same people when we obey Christ. When we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we become one with everybody else that obeys the doctrine of Christ. And that's what makes us strong there. And the Holy Ghost is on our side. We don't have to worry about it anymore. The Holy Ghost is with us. And when the Holy Ghost is with you, you don't have nothing to worry about. Just keep living right, doing right, and doing God's word and preaching and teaching it. And the Holy Ghost will let you go through this earth, and you'll set fire to a whole lot of holistic thoughts, a whole lot of holistic people, and they will obey the gospel of Christ. Brother Rob.
Yes, thank you, Brother Parker. You want people to call with the questions because that's how we keep the dialogue open. As we were saying a minute ago, the reason why we open up open for question and answers because truth has nothing to fear. But see, if you're going around lying to people and misleading them, you don't want questions. Because, see, one thing about that is when you go to lying to people, you better have a good memory because you may forget the lie you told before.
Amen. How are you? All right.
But we're saying, let us open the book up. Let's go to the book and use that as our source. Then use it as our, the word of God will be our standard, our rule of standard.
Amen.
And keep our opinions out of it. Let's not go by our personal feelings. We only want to see what the Bible says. That's our rule of standard. To keep that as our standard. And that way we can avoid some pitfalls by people giving their opinions about stuff. Personal feelings. Opinions are like noses. Everybody got them and they're all different. They're what a problem. And simply use the word of God as our rule of standard. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. You was talking before.
Bro Brown, do we have any questions at this point? Any questions?
Yeah, we got a couple people online. If anybody got a question, just press number one button on your phone, the number one button, and we'll open your mic up.
If you got a question, go ahead, press one right now. Go ahead, press one right now if you got a question. Anybody got a question? Anyone got a question?
Yes, sir. They just listening.
Okay, all right. You know, it's most important that we stick with the Word of God, that we go back to the Bible. I don't think authority from 100 years ago or 400 years ago or 500 years ago is old enough. We got to go back almost 2,000 years to get our doctrine because the Bible teaches that the apostles continue steadfastly, the church continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that's the same doctrine that the church needs to stand firm on today and that we need to preach today is the apostles' doctrine because before Christ died, he told his apostles that I'm going to give you another comforter. I'm going to give you the spirit of truth who guides you into all truth. And that was the Holy Spirit. So the apostles had the level of the Holy Spirit that led them into the truth and allowed them to set order and doctrine in the church. And that's what they did. So that's why it's most important that we follow the apostles' doctrine. But let me ask this to the panel. What does it mean? What does it mean to follow the apostles' doctrine?
Amen. That's a
Amen.
Very good question. That's a very good question. See, first thing, we got to give you a synopsis, because many folks don't even understand what the word doctrine means. A synopsis means to break it down for you. Okay, now, doctrine is teaching. See, so we want the people out there to understand. We're talking about what the apostles taught. So I want somebody, if you feel bold enough, to call and say that the apostles' doctrine is what Jesus taught. I'm waiting for somebody to say that. I hope nobody has that, somebody that brave to say something like that. Are we saying that what the apostles taught is different than what Jesus, our Lord, taught? I want somebody to entertain that. Please tell us that. If you feel like the apostles taught something different
Amen.
Than what Jesus, our Lord, taught, call us and tell us that. Call us and tell us that. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. We are not calling this as, we're not using this as a way of being boasting or anything like that. We want to open the dialogue up that we can discuss this matter clearly. Do anybody out there feel that what the apostles taught was different than what Jesus our Lord taught? Please call us.
Amen.
That's something that needs discussing. That's a position that needs discussing. Did the apostles teach something different than what Jesus our Lord taught? Make you think real clearly.
Yes.
make you think real clearly.
Yes.
So please call us. Number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Johnson, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I was looking at something in my Bible right quick. I want to take a note of reading it right quick. I'm coming from Luke, the 11th chapter, and verse 28. He says, what he said, ye rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There's a whole lot of people hearing the word, but they don't keep it. They're not doing nothing with it. They got it, but they ain't doing nothing with it. And we got folks outside of the church hear the word of God and won't do nothing about it. They'd rather hear what man got to say than to hear what God got to say. For instance, we know that we are not to call men reverends and pastors, but we got folks doing it. The Bible tells me in Psalms 111, verse 9, it said, call no man reverends and pastors and all that stuff. But my point is this, if you read it in the word of God and you still don't believe it, what's wrong with you?
Amen.
A lot of folk read something and then turn around and say, well, Jesus didn't mean that. Well, what did Jesus mean then? In Job chapter 32 and verse 21 and 22, Job said, I will not give man flattering titles. I know my maker will soon come and take me away. God has told us what to do. We are all supposed to be called brethren. The word brethren is mentioned 542 times, and it's mentioned 15 times in the book of James, and we still want to call the preacher reverends and all of this. Well, the Bible tells us to call no man your father and reverends and all that in Matthew 23 and verse 8 and 9. But we got everybody got a name, but we won't even call Jesus Reverend. We won't even call him Mr. Christ. We just call him Christ. We won't even call Jesus Reverend, but we'll call a man Reverend. We'll call a man pastor. No man can be a pastor of one church. The word pastor is plurality, is more than one. In Acts chapter 20 and 28, he said, take ye therefore, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He said, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
We got men today are not shepherding the flock like they should. They're not teaching the people like they should.
Amen.
God has given us a book of instructions. He has given us a book of revelation to tell the world what to do to be saved and to stay saved. You see, God then told us even to tell the people, put them in remembrance of these things.
Yes.
In Jude chapter 1 and verse 5.
Man.
We ought to put people in the remembrance of it, because people are like children. They forget before they get out the door good.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach the word like the apostle did in the first century. Bow down on the book, brethren. Don't be afraid of what you got to say.
Yes.
God expects us to teach the world the truth. See,
amen.
The world can't teach us the truth. We got to teach them the truth.
Amen.
We claim to have the truth, but yet we don't want to teach the truth. We want to get a crowd or fill up a building. That ain't what Jesus said to do.
Amen.
He didn't tell us to fill a building up.
Amen.
He said go preach and go teach all nations.
Amen.
I don't do the rest of it. He said he do the adding to the church. He add you to a spiritual kingdom. He adding us daily if we do what he tell us. But
Amen.
When we get away from the book, we'll teach anything and everything but what God already said. God has told you what to do. All you got to do is do it. Just
Amen.
Do exactly what he says.
Amen.
Just follow the plan. See the result. He can take this nation. Do you have faith in God to work with you to take this nation back? Yes. All we got to do is preach it. Us brothers right now, Brother Robin, Brother Parker, Brother Parker the Fourth, Brother William, myself, Brother Brown, we can all preach the same doctrine like the apostle did and turn this world upside down, Acts 17 chapter and verse number 6. Don't tell me what you can't do. You just don't want to do. God is with us. We can do it. You see, we got God on our side. We got the real God, the God that's in heaven. Psalm 115 verse number 3. Our God is real. Our God is not a stone and money and all that foolishness. Our God is a spirit.
Yes.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
John 4 and 23 and 24. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth.
Yes.
Joshua 24, 14 and 15. What's wrong with us?
Yeah.
We got the truth. We got God. God is our leader. God is the head of the church. Ephesians 5, verse 23-25, it says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body.
Amen.
Nobody else is the head of the church of Christ but Christ himself. Anybody
Amen.
That follow Christ is his head. But if we do not follow Christ, we don't have a head.
Yes.
We just going to hell. That's what we're going from here to hell, and we don't do it the way God says. People are leaving here, going to hell, because they won't listen to what God got to say. We need to be like Nehemiah in the 8th chapter, go back to the book, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Yes.
Stop playing with the Bible and preach the Bible. Preach exactly what he says. As Brother Robinson said earlier, truth has nothing to fear.
Yes.
What is the problem? If it has nothing to fear, let's take it and do what it says. Jesus said to them Jews, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciple, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31 and 32. You want to be free? Do God's will. And
Amen.
Follow the plan. preach the gospel.
Yes.
Just preach it, preach it, preach it. Preach it until Jesus comes. Just keep
Man.
On preaching it. Don't worry about what people think. God's got
yes.
a reward for all of those who will preach the gospel.
Man.
God will walk with you. He will stay with you if you do what he tells you to do. You ain't got to worry about, well, should I do it this way? Should I preach this or should I preach that? You preach what's in that book and stay in the book. Keep your head in the book.
Yep.
Man. God's word gonna stand. God's
Amen.
Word gonna stand when man lie down in the grave. God's
Amen.
Word ain't gonna never turn them back them boys. Isaiah 55 verse 9-11.
Man.
All you got to do is preach the book. And when he gave it to us for, he gave
yes.
it to his preachers today to preach the word.
Amen.
We can preach it just like it is. Tell the truth.
Yep.
Yeah, people going to get mad.
Man.
People going to get upset. People may cuss us out. People may talk about us. Then they talk about your kin folks and everything else. Then they talk about you from near to done. But you keep preaching the word of God. Don't
Man.
Let nobody put fear in your soul. God is working with you when you preach the word of God. I turn it back
Man.
Over to my brethren.
Yes, and here's something here that I'd like for you to point out. Remember this, brethren, we have accomplished something at this time.
Yeah,
it's pretty tough that we've done here now. Listen, T.D. Jakes is going to run him a conference beginning June the 21st. And we have initiated that. I know that there are many people who are taping this program and giving it to worldly guys out there. And we ask them the question, what in hell is it that you want? What's so good down there? And so T.D. Jakes is going to try to bring that out in a conference to his people over there and others out in the world about hell. But the first thing T.D. Jakes needs to do is to answer why he has a church that he's over going to hell right now.
Yeah.
He's exposing himself. He's on the way to hell and leading a bunch of people, making over $5 million a year and going straight to hell. Amen, amen. And we need to know
amen.
That that is something that is very wonderful that we have been able to do. And we all trust and pray that more and more will do the same thing. But they got a way of keeping their mouths kind of shut and not calling in and not letting us know by taping it on their own computer and making takes out of them and spreading them everywhere. That's what they're doing.
Thank you, Brother Parker. We're just thankful for the opportunity to share God's word. But we're still asking you to please call in with your questions or comments. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. We only have about 10 minutes to go. Brother William, you still there, Brother William?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm still
go
here.
Go ahead, Brother William.
Brother Parker, we're going to pick up from where he stopped, where we got
yes.
these false preachers out here and these false ministers.
Yes.
They are popular. They have popularity and they renown. They have mega churches. They got churches that they are head of, but none of those churches are even mentioned by name, by doctrine, by founder,
yes.
by nothing in the Bible, the New Testament. The New
Man.
Testament church is spoken of in the Bible. Its founder is mentioned in the Bible. Its foundation is told and taught in the Bible. Its name is in the Bible. Its requirements for membership are in the Bible. Its doctrine
Man.
Is in the New Testament Bible. And none of these other churches have that. They claim
Amen.
To be preaching the doctrine of Christ to their folks. But they teach
Amen.
Them that they can call themselves something that's not even in the Bible.
Yes.
Where is it in the Bible? I got a question for our denominational brethren. Where is the name of your church that you the pastor of, that church that you pastor, where is that doctrine and that doctrinal name found in the New Testament? If it's not written in the Word of God, it's not true. All the truth that God has revealed to man, he had it written in a book, and that book is the Bible, the book of instruction to men before they leave this earth. That book was written by God through men. God didn't leave nothing out of the book that men needed to know in order to be saved. And to be sure, God told John, the last writer, the last one that he used to write his word, the last apostle to die of the 13, he told John when he gave him the instructions in closing up the letter of the revelation. He said, don't add. If any person add to the prophecy of this book, God said, I will add unto them the plagues that are written in this book. Now, he's talking about the entirety of his word. He's not just talking about the book of Revelation. He's talking about the entirety of his word. If you add something to it, there's some plagues in this book. Go back in the Old Testament and read about them. There's some plagues in this book. And God will plague your life. That plague that you will have will be eternal condemnation.
Hell.
And if you take away from the things that are written in this book, God will take your name out of the book of life. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10 through verse number 15, the Bible talks about that the false prophet and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. It says this is the second death. And it says all of those who are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's hell, ladies and gentlemen. Radio land, that's hell.
Amen.
Add to God's word or take away from it, then you're going to be subject to eternal damnation. Well, if it's not written in the word of God and you believe in it, where did you get it from? It must have been added to your doctrine of faith by someone other than God. It was added by a man. Man has no salvation for himself or anybody. He can't save himself because he is too sinful. We needed a Savior, and God sent a Savior. If man could have done it without Christ, we didn't need Christ. Since Jesus is the Savior, and since Jesus is God Almighty, since Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we ought to be listening to Jesus. Jesus commands baptism and repentance for salvation.
Amen.
Jesus married the church, Romans chapter 7, verse 4. You have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, and we should bring forth fruit to the glory and honor of God. Every wife that marries a man has the responsibility and the right to bring forth fruit unto her husband. What is that? She bears children unto her husband. That's what a wife do. She brings forth fruit to her husband by bearing children unto her husband. The church of Christ is Christ's wife. Her job and her responsibility is to bear fruit to God, to bear fruit, to give birth to Christians. Why? Because Christians are Christ's children. They're little Christ. Their name is Christ. That's why they're called Christians. My children were born to me, and my name is Williams. And when they were born, their name is Williams. They are Williamses because I'm their father, and that's my name. We are Christians because Christ is our spiritual father, and that's his name. And the body of Christ The Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We are baptized into that body of Christ. It's only one body. Christ is the head of his body. He's the head of the church, just like a man is the head of his wife. What does that mean?
Yes.
He is married to the church. He is the head of it. He rules the church. He is the head of one body, just like a man has one head and one body. Christ is one head over one body. That body is the church. The church is spiritual, not physical. The church is not a brick and mortar edifice building sitting on a corner. The church is the spiritual saved. Those who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb through the obedience to the gospel of Christ have been baptized into Christ for the removal of their sins. God has added them to the church, which is his body. Listen, ladies and gentlemen,
amen.
When a man fathers children and his wife bears those children, he has, in effect, added those children to his house. Why? Well, when he got married, it was him and his wife. That's two. When his wife bore him children, the first one she bore made three. If she bore any more, they were added. And you, that's how Christ adds to his church. Those who are being born again, not of the flesh, but of the water and of the spirit, they are being born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5. They are being added to the spiritual family of God, which is the church. And brethren, that's what's written in the Bible. You can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 27. You can read that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 through 41. You can read that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. You can read where the churches of Christ are mentioned by name in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16.
Amen.
You will never read about the churches of Baptists. You will never read anything about the churches of Catholic. You will never read anything about the churches of Mormon, the churches of Methodist, the churches of Presbyterian, the churches of Apostolic, the churches of Pentecostal. You will never read any of those designations in the New Testament scripture. But yet you got men who are leading and teaching these folks and telling them that we are all a part of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are part of that same church that Jesus built when he said in Matthew 16 and 18, I will build my church. We are, our church is a member of Christ's church. It's a bunch of foolishness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Well, who is he talking to? Was he talking to the Baptist church? No.
No.
It didn't exist. It didn't come into business until 1607. It did not exist in 35 or 64 A.D. He wasn't talking to the Baptist church. He wasn't talking to the Catholic church. It didn't have its beginning until 325 A.D. It didn't become founded as a religious church till 606 A.D. It wasn't mentioned in the Bible. It didn't even exist. He wasn't talking to the Catholic church. He wasn't talking to the Methodist church. It didn't come in until 1539. He wasn't talking to these churches that claim to be the churches of Christ. They are not. The only church that Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was referring to are the churches or the assemblies that were named the Church of Christ. And that's all God is talking about today. Jesus is not coming back to save the Pope's church. He's not coming back to save John Smith's church. He's not coming back to save Martin Luther's church. He's not coming back to save Eddie Baker's church. He's not coming back to save nobody else's church. He's coming back to save his church. He's coming back to receive his wife. She married to him. She wears his name, and she obeyed his doctrine. She obeyed his rule. She lives in his house. So, you know, we got to, brethren, it's a lot that our denominational counterparts, the false doctrinal teachers that we are teaching against, they got to answer God for that. The Bible says in Revelation 20 that God is going to open up the book of life. That's the Bible. He's going to open up some other books too. Those books are the books that contain the deeds of our life. Each one of us, God has a record of our life. God has a book, okay? It's a book of remembrance. God don't need to remember. You know who needs to remember? We need to remember. But God's going to bring it up when he judges you in the final day. He's going to bring it up, and if your deeds and if your name and if your religious faith and belief is not the same as what is written in the book of life, you'll be cast into hell.
Amen.
The Bible hasn't changed in 2,000 years, brethren.
Man.
The New Testament doctrine hasn't changed in 1,983 years. And I don't see no Baptist church, Baptist doctrine, Baptist preacher, Baptist founder, Catholic founder, Pope, Cardinal. I don't see none of that foolishness in the Bible.
Amen.
We got to stay with the Word of God. The Word of God won't change, hasn't changed, won't change. And we can all we can do is tell the truth, brother. I tell folk all the time, I didn't write the Bible. The Bible was written, sealed, and delivered to the church 1,900 years before I even showed up. I didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. So if God says it, that's it. God bless you.
We're out of time. We're out of time.
Yes, sir.
Tune in on next Thursday. We're out of time. Tune in next Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 open forum. Thank you very much. May God bless you. May God keep you off the air. Thank you.
Good night.
You still we can give a prayer.
We have 24 hours. Did you know that? We got 24 hours.
Hello? Yeah.
Wow. Is this Brother William?
It's Brother Johnson.
Brother Johnson.
Yeah.
Brother Robbins, he said he forgot we got more time. So if we go over in the future, he'll let us go over because I think we got 24 hours. Is Brother William still on or whatever?
I don't know. He might not be.
Okay, well, Brother Johnson, why don't you give us a closing prayer?
Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for your holy word, your revelation. We want to thank you for the truth
Amen.
Of your word. We want to thank you for your word because it is able to save our souls in the end. We want to
yes,
thank
Lord.
You for Jesus Christ who gave his life that we may have life through his redeeming blood.
Amen.
We want to thank you for the church that he added us to. We want to thank you, Father, for all of the blessings of life, spiritual and physical. Want to thank you for allowing us to be able to be on the air, to be able to preach
yes,
your
Lord.
Word to a lost and dying generation. Help us,
Amen.
Dear God, be faithful. Watch over us, be with us, and help us to be faithful to your word. Through Jesus Christ's name we say, let us all say, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, talk to Brother John. Brother John.
Yes, sir.
When you get a chance, talk to Brother William and let him know that Brother Robin wasn't aware of the fact that they had bought more time than that. On, I think we got 24 hours. Let him know that we might, if it goes a little longer, it'll be all right, okay?
All right, I'll tell him.
God bless you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.